bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Live and Word with Pastor Mensa Okoto. And now, today's word.
Well, today I just want to bring a word to encourage you and to let you know that God is not finished with you, that God is still at work with you, and that God is about to break forth in your life in a very major supernatural way. My message is simply titled, Just One Blessing. Just One Blessing. Today we're going to look at the life of a man who missed it big time and his struggle to get his life back on track. Many times, you know, life hits you so hard, or you go through life and feel you've missed it big time. You've made a terrible mistake, or an opportunity has passed you, and it looks as if time has gone against you. And this is what this man was confronted with in the Bible. And we're going to see how he regained what has been lost. The man's name is Esau. And I've preached a lot about him. He was born with a prospect of greatness. Esau was the firstborn. He was a twin, firstborn of Isaac. And by tradition, he was entitled to the blessing of a birthright. The blessing of a birthright was a double portion of what the father had. And so if Isaac had inherited the blessing of Abraham, then Esau was supposed to inherit the blessing of Isaac, which will also be the blessing of Abraham. So that will be quite a massive thing that is about to happen to Esau. However, as a young man, Esau was a very careless man. He did not value the great opportunities that were available to him. He made rash choices about his future. And in an irresponsible negotiation with his younger brother Jacob, he sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. And most of us are familiar with that story of Esau selling his birthright for a bowl of soup from Jacob. After that negotiation, after he had sold his birthright, he lived his life as if nothing had happened, until the time came when the blessing is about to be passed on. This is about 20 years after he made the mistake. So he's made a mistake, 20 years have passed, and I'm sure he believes that over the period of time, the effect of his mistake probably has vanished or would not work. The interesting thing about life is that it will catch up on you one day. It catches up on everybody. So when the time for the blessing comes, Isaac is about to bless Esau. And he sends Esau to go and get him some meal to be prepared. And in the process, by a twist of circumstances, Jacob comes in and claims the blessing. And so Esau returns and realizes that his blessing is gone. The negotiation he made 20 years ago has caught up on him. And the day came when he's supposed to be blessed. And that day was a disaster for him. Somebody has jumped ahead of him. Somebody has taken what belongs to him. Somebody has cheated him out of his future blessing. And what do you do when you realize that something you thought was going to happen didn't happen? Each one of us have had opportunities in life taken away from us. You thought you were going to get it, and somebody else took it. You thought it was your opportunity, somebody got it. You thought today was the day, and it didn't become the day. How do you deal with it when you've missed it big time? Either by your mistake or what other circumstance, you've missed it big time. So Esau realizes he has lost the birthright. He has lost the blessing. This is what his life is about. This is what he's been waiting for. All this time, it is supposed that by this time in his life, he's probably getting to his late 20s into 30. And so it looks like almost everything has been wasted. So The text I'm going to read is from Genesis chapter 27. Esau returns, realizes his blessing is gone, and in verse 38, we read these very profound words recorded in scripture. And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I situate this message within the context of anyone who feels cheated or has missed a major opportunity in life. We have to choose how we respond when those things happen. And in the passage, we hear Esau's prayer of agony when he realizes all his is gone. And he cries to his father because his father tells him, "I have already blessed Jacob. Everything in me is gone. I've given him what the birthright blessing is supposed to be. There's nothing left for you." And Esau cries and he says, "Father, don't you just have one blessing? Isn't there something left over for me? I may not get the meal, but aren't there some crumbs left for me?" That's a very interesting perspective change. Here is somebody who has lived with a sense of entitlement, believing that the future was his, he was going to be great, everything was going to end up right, and all of a sudden now he's looking for just leftover. Isn't there one blessing? It may seem like a defeatist attitude, but it's a positive attitude. Esau is saying, "I may have blown it, but I just need a break. I need something to help me to start all over again." Today, if you are in that situation and you've missed it big, or somebody cheated you, or somebody took away what was yours, I came to tell you there is something left over from God for you. It's not over. There is something left over for you. So, in the midst of that, he could be bitter, and he was bitter. He could be angry, and he was angry. But he also focused on opportunity. "Have you only one blessing, my father?" This prayer of Esau shows three things. First, the agony of missed opportunities. The agony of missed opportunities. He lifted up his voice and he wept. He realized what he has lost. The weight of his mistake. The second thing you notice about his prayer is his passion and hunger for new opportunities. It's great to agonize over missed opportunity. But that shouldn't be where you end. There has to be a passion and a hunger for a new opportunity. And the third thing you see about Esau is a newfound respect for little things. He had learned the lesson that little things make big difference. He had lived with a sense of abundance. Everything works for him. He has so much working for him, and all of a sudden, they are all gone. And now he realizes, "I don't need too many things to start my life all over again. I just need one little blessing." The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are. If you want to get somewhere, you have to decide, "I'm not going to stay where I am." Until you make that decision that "I'm not going to stay where I am," you're going to be bound by where you are. And Esau, in this moment of pain, of agony, feeling cheated, feeling that somebody has stolen from him, feeling devastated, probably even blaming himself for negotiating his birthright away 20 years ago, feeling hatred for Jacob. Yet in the midst of all of that, he realized, if I just keep allowing this anger to poison me, I may never get out of this situation. So he asked his father, isn't there something left for me? So his father said, okay, there's something left for you. And I'm going to give you what is left for you. It's a leftover blessing. It's a leftover opportunity. This is what other people don't like, but if you like it, I will give it to you. This is what Jacob probably didn't even seek for, but it's left over, and I will give it to you. So in verses 39 and verse 40 of Genesis chapter 27, we read that blessing that came upon Esau. And this morning, I pray for you, my friend. I pray for you, wherever you are, that something left over will still come your way. That God will still favor you. It may not seem big, but it will accomplish big things. So I want you to listen carefully to the blessing that Isaac gave to Esau. Genesis 27, verse 39 to 40. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. These blessings sometimes sound very enigmatic because they sound almost like poetry. And you have to decode them and try to understand what Isaac is saying. There are two parts of what Isaac is saying. The first part, he says that you will have the fatness of the earth. In other words, you're going to have natural resources. Secondly, you have the dew of heaven. In other words, God is going to favor you. Thirdly, you're going to live by the sword. In other words, you're going to be a warrior. Three things. They seem good. Natural resources, a spiritual blessing, and an aggressive spirit. They seem like good things. But then Isaac tugs a line after he had said these three. He says, and you will serve your brother. And you will serve your brother. In other words, with your natural resources, with the spiritual heritage you're going to have, with the warrior spirit you have, you will still be a servant. That is not a blessing. It's not a blessing for you to have natural resources and be a servant. To have a spiritual heritage and be a servant. To have an aggressive spirit and be a servant. That's not what you're looking for. Many times when I read this, it reminds me of our continent, Africa. We have natural resources. We have a spiritual heritage. We pray more than any people on this planet Earth. We have a strong, boisterous spirit. But we're still servants. And that's what Isaac is saying to Esau. You're going to have natural resources. You're going to have a spiritual heritage. You're going to have an aggressive warrior spirit. But all of that is not going to change anything about you. You will still be a servant to your brother Jacob. So that's not a blessing. Then he gives us the second part of his message. He says, when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. When you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. This is the blessing of restlessness. Isaac is saying the reason why your life is where it is because you've taken too much for granted. You've taken abundance for granted. You've taken God's resources for granted. But if you want to break the yoke of Jacob from your neck, then you have to be restless. And the word restless means to roam, to be troubled. And when you read it, it gives the idea of an ox. An ox is a big cow that has been yoked, or his neck is tied to something. And the ox can decide two things. Says, my neck is tied and I'm going to wait here because I'm supposed to wait here. Or I'm going to break free from here. And so what Isaac is saying is, When you become restless, is that ox begins to turn its neck and turn its body and begin to resist the bondage and fight and fight and fight until it breaks the yoke from its neck. And he says, Esau, that is what I'm blessing you with. You are going to be restless and you're going to break the yoke. It's not going to be the dew of heaven. It's not going to be your resources. It's not just going to come by chance. It's going to come because you took personal responsibility. When you become restless, then the yoke shall be broken. It sounds, what kind of blessing is that? Because many times when we want God to bless us, we want God to tell us, it will be well with you. You will do nothing and everything will be well. You will just be sitting there and there will be manna. But in this blessing, he says, no, the freedom is going to come when you become restless. I'm addressing this message to you as an individual. You have to stand up and say, I'm not going to die in this situation. I'm addressing this message to families. You have to determine, we've been poor for too long. We've been down for too long. We've been oppressed for too long. And we will not end this way. We will be restless. I'm addressing this message to pastors. You have to say, my ministry will not end in defeat. I will not just stay where I am. I'm going to break out and do the mighty things that God has called me to do. I address this message to our nation, Ghana. We cannot prosper with natural resources. We have gold. It didn't work. Timber didn't work. Diamond didn't work. Oil didn't work. By now, it should register in our minds that no matter how much natural resources we have, that will not give us what we are looking for. The change is not from the blessing of the earth. The change is not going to come because we pray so much. The change is not going to come because we have aggressive spirit. The change is going to come because we start being restless and we wrestle and we struggle with the yoke upon our necks and we are saying we will not be beggars forever. We're not going to be beggars. We're not going to stretch our hands to nations to help us. For every little thing we want to do, we need somebody to help us. We have to be restless and we have to wrestle against that. And that is what Isaac is saying to Esau. It's not going to come from the dew of heaven. It's not even going to come from the blessing, the fatness of the earth. It's not going to come by your sword. It's going to come when you become restless. Somebody say, I am restless. Oh, say, I am restless. You are not going to just lie down and say, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. This is how God wants me to be. Me too, this is my life. That is not our life. Yes, we missed it big time. Yes, somebody has cheated us. Yes, people have taken our gold. They've taken our silver. They've taken our oil. Yes, 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 we know all of that. What are you going to do about it? Yes, your family has had all the difficulties. People have not given you opportunity. People push you aside. Your big brother cheated you. Your younger brother cheated you. Your stepmother didn't treat you well. What are you going to do about it? Your husband left you. It's sad. It's painful. What are you going to do about it? Your business collapsed. It's sad. What are you going to do about it? 10 years ago, your business partner took your business from you. We sympathize, but sympathy is not going to bring that business back. What are you going to do about it? And that's the lesson Isaac is teaching Esau. You can decide I'm going to spend my life tracking Jacob to kill him, but that will not bring your birthright back. You can sit and complain, I've been cheated. That's not going to change anything. You can blame yourself and say, why did I do it? It's not going to change anything. He says what is going to change it is when you become restless. When talks about a time. There has to come a time in your life when you say, from this day, I'm not going to remain in this situation again. And then you, it's personal responsibility. Become is a process of transformation. When you become. I choose to become restless. We must choose to become restless. This nation must choose to become restless. I don't know about you, but I don't want other nations fighting my battles for me. I don't want other people telling me that my life matters. I know my life matters. I don't need help. We have to choose to change our lot by ourselves. And that's what Isaac is telling Esau. When you become restless, you will break the yoke from your neck. Thomas Edison, the great American inventor and businessman, says restlessness is discontent, and discontent is the first necessity of progress. Show me a thoroughly satisfied man and I will show you a failure. Wow. Restlessness is discontent, and discontent is the first necessity of progress. Show me a thoroughly satisfied man, and I will show you a failure. I believe that although the statement there is gender directed at men, it is gender inclusive with women. Show me a thoroughly satisfied woman, and I will show you a failure. Something about comfort with where we are and staying where we are can become our greatest enemy. And that is why Esau sold his birthright. It was his. He had too much of it. He sold it without even thinking of consequences. But when he came to his father says, son, the only thing I'm going to bless you with is restlessness. This attitude of passivity must change. You have to rise up and do something about it. So restlessness brings discontent. Discontent will lead to questings. Questings will produce new understanding. New understanding will offer us new options. New options will lead to new choices. New choices will lead to new actions. And new actions will produce new results. It's a process, my friends. It's a process. I'm a believing man. I'm a pastor. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe God answers prayer. I also believe that there are rules that God has set for the advancement of the human society. That we cannot just pray alone without doing anything. And one of the things we have to do is discontent. In our 40 days of power, I pray that God will give us a spirit of restlessness to shake that yoke off your neck. Shake that sickness from your body. Shake that situation out of your life. So, did Esau break the yoke? Did this blessing work in the life of Esau? Well, years later, another 20 years later, after this incident, because right after the incident, Jacob runs away, and he's away for 20 years. And now Jacob and Esau are about to meet after 20 years. If you calibrate their age, they will probably be about 50 years of age. They are about to be encountered with one another. Jacob has gone out, and he's returning with blessing. And he hears that Esau is about to meet him after 20 years. The last time they met, there had been a bad deal, and Esau wanted to kill him. Now, Jacob hears Esau is about to meet you. So in Genesis chapter 32, verse 3 to 6, we read this account. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there till now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. And I have sent to tell you, my lord, that I may find favor in your sight. Then the message returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau. He's also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. That's not good news for Jacob. So what is happening is 20 years have lapsed. Isaac said to Esau, the blessing is gone. It's on Jacob. But if you are restless, you will break his yoke from your neck. Jacob goes, works for him. Laban, his father-in-law, all kinds of transactions take place. But after 20 years, he's coming back, and he is a very wealthy man. And he hears his brother, whom he cheated, or whose birthright he got, is coming to meet him. I wouldn't really say his brother whom he's cheated, but his brother who feels cheated is coming against him. So Jacob says, take all of this, go and pacify him. And even the language is very obsequious. Your servant, my lord, and all of that, trying to pacify his brother, because he's told Esau has 400 warriors with him. What is he going to do? Genesis chapter 33 from verse 1, it says, now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants, and so on and so forth. And then verse 4, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, and he says, who are these with you? So Jacob is afraid of Esau because of what happened. And so they meet, and he's scared. And Esau, the supposed offended brother, runs and embraces Jacob, kisses him, looks at all his flock and his children and says, brother, what is all of this? And then Jacob explains and says, this is what God has blessed me with. Then verse 8. Then Esau said, what do you mean by all this company which I met? And he said, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. So what Jacob and what Esau is saying is, before I met you, I saw all these cows and I saw all these sheep and these camels and all these things coming to meet me. What is all of that for, my brother? Why did you send those things? He says, well, I send them to find favor in your sight. And listen to Esau's answer. Oh, I love this answer. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. So what Esau is saying is, oh, you think I've been bitter for the last 20 years? You think I was so upset because the birthright went to you? No. My father, your father, Isaac, told me how to get ahead in life. And he said, if I'll be restless, I will be blessed too. And for the last 20 years, I've been working on that. I haven't been looking back at the transaction that went bad. I haven't been sitting here complaining about how things went bad. I haven't been here criticizing what you did. I have been working for the last 20 years and building my life. And so I have enough. I have enough. Keep what you have for yourself, because God has blessed me also. Keep what you have for yourself. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great for us, for that to be our story in Africa, in Ghana, when Britain says, we are giving you aid of 100 million, and we say, we have enough. Keep your 100 million, because we also know how to get 100 million. Wouldn't that be amazing when China says, oh, we want to give aid to Africa, and Africa says, we have enough? Wouldn't that be great when America says, we are sending ventilators, the big thing, to Ghana, and we say, we have enough? That should be our aspiration, that we can tell the rest of the world, we have enough. We have enough. We too, we have been blessed. We too, we have built our economies. We too, we have built our lives. We too. And I pray that will be your language. I pray that the next time you meet your stepbrothers who made fun of you when you were young, 20 years ago, there will be no bitterness. And when they meet you and they think, oh, now you are the same person who was despised, you will smile and embrace them and say, I have enough, brother. I have enough, sisters. God has blessed me too. That the next time you meet your stepmother, it will not be bitterness. You will be able to say, I have enough. Look what God has done with me. The next time you meet your former boss, there will be no anger. There will be no bitterness, because you have learned to break the yoke yourself. And you can say with Esau, I have enough, my brother. I have enough. In other words, I'm glad for what you have, but I also have mine. I'm glad for what you have achieved, but I also have mine. I'm glad you made it, but I also made it. This is not a situation of one made it and the other failed. It is one made it and the other also made it. One had the blessing of the birthright, missed it. The other took it and prospered by the blessing of the birthright. But the one who lost the blessing of the birthright also made it, not with birthright, but with restlessness. In other words, there is a blessing left for you. There is a blessing left for you. Somebody say, there is a blessing left for me. Say, there is a blessing left for me. So I address everybody who feels they've been cheated in life by an ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-somebody, ex-boss, ex-friend, ex-brother, ex-sister, ex-ex. Somebody you feel has done you in. And you are sitting down and you're planning revenge, building 400 soldiers for revenge. God says, that's not the revenge I want you to have. The revenge I want you to have is to meet that same person and be able to stand shoulder to shoulder. Know that your life has not been diminished. Your life has not been reduced. You are not disadvantaged in any way. It seemed like a disadvantage 20 years ago, but see what the Lord has done in your life. See the blessing he has brought into your life. That is God's blessing to you today. I bless you with that blessing that Isaac blessed Esau with. I bless you that the yoke shall be broken from your neck. that you will not roam about seeking for vengeance, but you're going to roam around seeking for an embrace to tell your testimony. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. Now, some of you will say, but I have nothing. You know, it doesn't take so much for God to do too much. It doesn't take so much for God to do too much. He can do with little. And for some of you, the one blessing God will leave you is a new opportunity that is coming to you this week or next week. Everything is gone, but one more is coming your way. And that door is going to be open. It may not seem like much. It may not seem like it has so much to offer. But take that opportunity. Use that opportunity and see how much God will grow it. So much has been lost, but there is something still left in your hand. Never despise what is left over. Never despise what God has allowed you to have. And I believe if we as a people, as individuals, will take this blessing, we will prosper. I believe our country can prosper. Our country, yes, the British took our gold. They took this and they took that and they took that and they took that. But we're still begging them. We should be able to meet with them and say, keep what you have, our brothers. God has blessed us also. The little we had left over, look what God has done with it. That should be the story of Africa. That should be the attitude of Africa. We were disadvantaged, but look what we have in our hands. And we have it because we became restless and we worked hard and we broke this yoke from our necks. And see what God has done in your life. Wherever you are, I want you to stand. Because I want us to come into a prayer of agreement. Something is about to break loose in your life. You're moving from bitterness to achievement. From anger to achievement. I don't know what it is that has gone. Maybe a husband or somebody just took it all. And you're wondering, how can I rise again? You will rise again. And the next time you meet that person, there'll be no bitterness. Because God will prosper you also. And make you well. Put your hand upon your head. And say, Heavenly Father, bless me. Just one blessing. Just one blessing. Just one blessing. To break the yoke from my neck. I will be free. To succeed. To prosper. To do well. To rise up. No bitterness. No anger. Just a testimony to give to you. I receive this blessing into my life from today in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are, and we want to pray for our country. And we're praying for all African countries. We've been begging for too long. And we want to pray that God will give Africa, Ghana, Africa, a spirit of restlessness to break every colonial bondage, imperialist bondage, everything that has been on our necks these years, 400 years, we will break it now. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hand and pray for our nation, pray for our continent, pray for the leaders. May God give us restless leaders like Esau, who broke the yoke. And Father, we pray for our nation, we pray for our continent, a people that have been under the yoke for years, for centuries. But today we come and say in the voice of Esau, bless us also. Bless us also with the spirit of restlessness. Not just with natural resources. We don't want more oil. We don't want more gold. We don't want more diamonds. We want a new attitude, a new spirit of restlessness to break the yoke of the enemy from our necks. And may we, O God, stand toe to toe with the nations of the world, with the continents of the world. May we go to world conferences, never to beg, but to say, my brothers, I have enough. May we go to China and say, my brothers, I have enough. May we go to America and say, my brothers, I have enough. May we go to France and say, my brothers, I have enough. May we go to Britain and say, my brothers, I have enough. Me too. I have been blessed. We decree this blessing upon our lives, upon our homes, upon our churches, upon our businesses, upon our nation, and upon our continent, Africa. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And if you believe the yoke is broken wherever you are, give the Lord a mighty shout and scream wide and say, the yoke is broken. The yoke is broken. In the name of Jesus. I believe something has shifted in the spiritual atmosphere in your life and in your family, in our nation and in our continent. And watch out, world. The story has changed and new people are emerging in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.